It's a Monday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll recap Miami's overtime loss on the road to the Indiana Pacers, then look at the Heat's ever-changing playoff picture and how they currently look in the Eastern Conference standings. Thank you for listening, for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is David Romillo, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. Cover the league at large for Fansided and FanRec Sports, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomillo13. My usual co-host, Wes Goldberg, is traveling, unable to record tonight's recap, but he'll be back later on this week, so for tonight, you're stuck with me. So let's get right into it. The Heat are finishing off a short road trip in Indiana, losing to the Pacers 113-107 in overtime. Miami was a little shorthanded, still missing Hassan Whiteside, who was sitting out his eighth straight game as he nurses a hip injury. They were also without head coach Eric Spoelstra, who flew back to Miami on Saturday to be with his wife, Nikki, for the delivery of their first child. Dan Craig, former head coach of the Sioux Falls Skyforce, was the acting head coach, but unfortunately couldn't deliver a win. The Heat jumped out to an early lead. Tyler Johnson was particularly impressive, knocked all four of his three-point attempts in the first quarter, and Miami was able to build a 14-point lead, getting some nice buckets from Dwayne Wade as well. And they also did a really nice job defensively against Indiana's backcourt. Victor Oladipo, the all-star, much improved this year, but he looked like he was struggling against Miami for most of the game, did most of his damage, unfortunately, late in the game or in overtime. And point guard Darren Collison, who is the league's leading three-point shooter, he really struggled for most of the game. Again, he didn't really catch fire until overtime, but Miami looked like they were doing a good job on them early on, and that was really much of the difference. But the Pacers were able to get a boost from their bench, namely longtime nemesis Lance Stephenson. Stephenson only finished with 8 points, but he brought his chaotic energy into a lifeless team, and they started chipping away at the lead. They eventually tied up the game midway through the second quarter, and that scoring output really continued into the third, with the Pacers getting some big production from Thad Young. Thaddeus Young finished with 22 points, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, who also added 18 points. Indiana actually outscored Miami in the second and third quarters by a 17-point margin. They were notching a combined total of 61 points in both periods to just 44 for the Heat, so that's really when they really pulled ahead there. But then in the fourth, they got some timely production from Kelly Olynyk. He finished with 12 points, and James Johnson, who finished with 15 points, and they were able to cut an eight-point deficit and eventually held a two-point lead, 95-93, with just about 2 minutes to play. Free throws by Oladipo tied the game with about 50 seconds left, and then Dwayne Wade took a really rushed off-balance shot from about 19 feet that missed everything. That led to a fast-break opportunity for the Pacers, and that resulted in a Miles Turner foul. He was on the line, only able to convert one of two free throws, so they gave the Heat a chance. In the ensuing out-of-bounds play that Dan Craig drew up, James Johnson held the ball, went up court, flying down the court. He actually was as quick as I've ever seen him, to be honest with you. And he was able to draw a foul on Thad Young, making the first of his two free throws to tie the game, but he missed the game winner. And Miami actually caught a break there. Replay showed, and much of the Pacers' home crowd agreed, that Johnson probably committed the offensive foul. He went right at Thad Young. Young kind of fell back, so it could have been a flop, but it looked like it was some pretty legitimate contact. Obviously, Johnson at 250-some pounds, big enough to knock over almost anybody in the league, and he really got away with one there. I think the Heat broadcasting team and I all agree that it looked like it was a pretty egregious foul, but it went Miami's favor. They drew the foul, and then on the ensuing play, Johnson was able to get another opportunity, went to the basket, drew another foul, and then that's when he went to the line and unfortunately only was able to make the first of the two free throws. So the game was tied up, went into overtime, and from that point, it was really all Pacers. Young added 4 points, but then Oladipo and Collison really started trading three-pointers to give Indiana a comfortable cushion. At one point, Collison hit a three, Oladipo finished up with another one. Then Collison hit another one before adding another bucket to that. I think Collison finished with a total of 10 points in the period. And the Pacers shot a blistering 66% in overtime and 49% overall. So that was a really bad game, a really bad loss for Miami. The loss is a particularly bad one because of the playoff picture, which we'll get to later on in the game. But some overall points here. The Pacers looked out of rhythm early on, but they were able to get back to their more familiar pace as the game went on. This team, not like most throughout the league nowadays, they don't shoot a lot of three-pointers. They actually shoot the fifth fewest per game at just 24.5. They only shot 23 tonight, and compared to that, Miami shot 35. But overall, they still shoot very well. Like I said, they shot 49% overall for the game, so that's still a pretty impressive statistic. They did shoot 21 free throws. And the Heat, defensively, they were on their toes for most of the night. They seemed like they were very determined to key in on Oladipo, and with good reason. He is their all-star and a very capable scorer. And he did manage to finish with 23 points, albeit on 8 of 21 shooting. So it's not like he had it going all night long, but Miami, again, seemed determined to try and keep him and Collison to a lesser extent out of it. But that led to other players being wide open, especially Thad Young. It seemed like he was constantly open underneath the basket or getting very easy looks as Miami was caught in switches. He finished up with 10 of 16 shots. And that was really the difference. The points in the paint, they didn't lead that by a huge margin, but a lot of those came from guys like Young and Miles Turner to a lesser extent. They just looked really, really good, and they were able to throw Miami off their game because of that weird style of play. They're not shooting a lot of three-pointers. They try to dribble past that initial defender, and then as soon as they have a little bit of room, they're going to let go a mid-range shot, and that's statistically inefficient. And from an analytics perspective, not an ideal shot. But because Indiana has such good shooters, including Oladipo, Miles Turner, even to a lesser extent, Thad Young, they're able to convert those at a pretty high rate, and it really paid off. On the Miami side of the ball, Goran Dragic just did not look very good. He finished with just 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting. So he was particularly off his game. He also added 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. Those assists looked like he was probably not actively looking for his shot, maybe trying to get other guys going. But even when he had the ball, it seemed like he was being pressured by Collison, surprisingly enough, who is not known for being a good defender. So Dragic just did not seem like he was ever into a very comfortable rhythm there. And it showed. He had a couple of timely buckets, but again, just 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting. So not a good night for our all-star. Justice Winslow and Wayne Ellington, both of whom had really good games for Miami over the last half of the season, were particularly quiet. Winslow finished with just 7 points, Ellington with just 8. That is not the kind of statistical contribution that Miami has come to depend on in order to pull off a win. So that was a pretty bad one. Overall, again, Miami's 10th road loss in their past 11 road games. So an alarming style of play there. Not like their usual style where they allow the opponent to build up a large lead and they start chipping away at that throughout the game. This was a little different. They actually had a lead early on, gave up that lead, and then had to find a way to come back later on, and unfortunately, they weren't able to do it in the overtime loss. Not a good game. With a loss and a Milwaukee win over the San Antonio Spurs, the Heat are now a half game back of the Bucks and in the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference standings. So they've got a lot of work to do if they want to continue their playoff push. So I'll look at my spotlight players of the game later on, and then we'll also take a look ahead at Miami's schedule over the last 8 games of the season. But first, a quick reminder, if you haven't subscribed, please do so. Subscribe to Locked On NBA. It's the only daily NBA podcast less than 30 minutes long. It delivers the most important news, scores, and storylines of the day. It's perfect to listen to on your morning commute, while you're at the gym, or during a lunch break. Make sure to listen on Tuesdays when my co-host Wes Goldberg and I will be hosting for the rest of the season. To get the latest episode every day, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting app. So I'll look ahead to the rest of Miami's games this week, but for now, we'll get to our spotlight players of the game, or rather my spotlight players of the game. Wes would normally have one. I would normally have one, but I'll have both today. So my first spotlight player, Bam Adebayo, starting in place of Whiteside. I wasn't sure how that matchup would go with Miles Turner, but it seemed like Adebayo actually looked very comfortable going against Turner, who's kind of a perimeter-based. He's got a versatile offensive game. He can block some shots, but he's not known as being the most physical guy. And I think Adebayo's physicality really did throw off Turner's rhythm. Turner picked up a couple quick fouls in the first quarter, seemed a little out of it for most of the night. And Adebayo finished with 14 points on 5 of 7 shooting and only 21 minutes of play. He also added 5 rebounds and a block. I think being on Turner, defending Turner for most of the game, kind of kept him out of the paint. So that's why he wasn't as active a rebounder as he normally is. But he had some really nice chemistry going there, particularly with Dwayne Wade. There was a monster dunk. If you haven't seen it, try looking for it somewhere on YouTube or on Twitter. It was a hell of a highlight. A lob that Wade tossed up to Adebayo. He caught it with his left hand. As that hand was cocked behind him while in the air, still managed to catch it and slam it through. A really impressive dunk midway through the third quarter. So that's definitely something you should check out. Looked good overall. He brought the ball up on 2 straight possessions early. So Craig was asking for him. It was kind of odd. Adebayo inbounded the ball to Dragic. Dragic tossed it back to Adebayo and watched the big man go to work. Dribbled into the teeth of Indiana's defense and started initiating the offense as he normally does from the elbow. And that was nice to see. Adebayo, obviously, a pretty good ball handler for his size. So I'm curious to see if that's something they'll incorporate later on. I wouldn't expect it, to be honest with you. Once Spoelstra comes back, he'll probably tighten the reins a little bit. But it's still nice to see your big man being able to bring the ball up and showing some of that versatility that makes him such an enticing player. Then, curiously enough, he sat out for most of the rest of the game after the third. Like he did not play much late on, in the third quarter and fourth. He came in overtime briefly. I think Olynyk's outside shooting was able to help Miami storm back from that 8-point deficit. So I think that's probably what the difference was. He looked like he had his knee bandaged up for part of the time. I didn't see any reports that he underwent any kind of injury or anything like that. So I wouldn't read too much into it unless we hear something later on tonight. But for now, it looked like he just had a pretty strong game, and it just may not have fit into Craig's plans for the Heat late in the game. So wouldn't read too much into it. Still a good overall showing from Adebayo. My second player of the game on the other side, though, was Josh Richardson. He finished with 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So his defense overall was still pretty good. Like I said, I think he was keying in on Oladipo for most of the game. It was, some convenient switching. I think Richardson or Johnson were either on Bogdanović or Oladipo for most of the game. And they did a fine job. I think Bogdanović was able to obviously get his scoring going, but he's a really good shooter from the perimeter. He had a really strong game against Miami early on. And Richardson, again, just, trying his hardest defensively, but not very good offensively. And that's been an alarming trend. In his previous 5 games, including, this one again with Indiana, he's averaging just 9.4 points. He's got 2 4-point games in that stretch. And if not for a 17-point outing against the Denver Nuggets in a double overtime win at home last week, that average would probably be a lot lower. He's shooting just 39% overall in that stretch, including 33% from 3-point range. So not good. Not good numbers from Josh as he enters the postseason. And I think that's part of the problem is that he's played 72 games. That's 19 more than his rookie season and 20 more than his second year. And he's also averaging 33.3 minutes per game. So you have to wonder if fatigue is playing a factor. If not physical, then at the very least mental. And that's something to consider. Look, Josh has been a guy who's a little bit more cerebral. Wes and I have talked a number of times how he lets confidence kind of chip away at his ability to make an impact. I think he's stuck in his head a little bit. And I think as we're starting to see a lot more players around the league acknowledge that there is a mental aspect of this game, whether it's a full-blown mental illness or anxiety, or even in a case like Richardson's potentially experiencing some fatigue, it's a drain. I think you as a listener have to acknowledge that professional basketball player as well. We look at their luxury lifestyle and the fact that they make X number of millions of dollars per year. It is a grind. It is difficult. And I think we might start seeing some of that more and more throughout the league, to be honest with you. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of players be more open about those kind of issues on a psychological and mental level. And I think that might be impacting Richardson, to be honest with you. I think he's probably going to be struggling a little bit as he's trying to take on too much responsibility with that contract extension coming into place and having to defend at such a high level, having to bring the ball up more, being counted on for more offensively. I mean, just more in general. And I think that's taking its toll. So hopefully he's able to bounce back and make a strong showing in the last 8 games of the season. Speaking of those 8 games, stay tuned as we'll break down the rest of Miami's schedule this week. But did you know that you can listen to Locked On Heat on your home assistant, like the Amazon Echo or Google Home? It's a hands-free way of listening to the latest episodes of Locked On Heat or any of the other Locked On podcast networks. So please make sure that you use your home assistant to do so. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. The Heat have 8 games left. Not a lot of time to make a push up the standings. The good news for them is that all but 2 of those are at home, and even those road games are against the lottery-bound Atlanta Hawks and New York Knicks. So Miami, again, 8th in the standings, likely to be assured of a playoff spot at this point. I think that the Detroit Pistons, who are 5.5 games back of Miami, don't have a realistic chance. They've gone 4-6 over their last 10. The Hornets are just a half game behind them, having gone 5-5 over the last 10. So I don't expect that either Detroit or Charlotte will make a realistic push to try and gain any ground on Miami. I think Miami needs to continue to make their push up the Eastern Conference, preferably to that 7th spot. I think it's no secret that the Boston Celtics are dealing with a number of injuries. The latest on point guard Kyrie Irving is that his MRI procedure, which he underwent over the weekend, has him missing anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. So he's going to miss the rest of March, most of April, and he could even miss the first round of the playoffs. So even though his backup, Terry Rozier, is playing at a high level and they do have some depth, I anticipate that Marcus Smart will probably make his way back at some point. Jaylen Brown has been going through some concussion-related issues, but he should be back in the lineup too. So they'll get their players back, but still, Kyrie Irving is undeniably a great talent, and without him there, without his playoff experience, I think Miami has a legitimate chance at knocking them off in the first round. So it should be an interesting matchup, and I think Miami is best suited to try and lock down that 7th seed. Right now they've got a hard row to hoe, and they've got their work cut out for them. So, obviously a lot of work to do. So let's look ahead to that schedule for the rest of the week. The Heat are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers on Tuesday. This will arguably be their toughest game left on the schedule. Miami's playing just 3 playoff-bound opponents over that last 8-game stretch, but 2 of those are the last 2 games of the season when teams might be resting players against the Oklahoma City Thunder and Toronto Raptors. They might be looking ahead to the playoffs, sitting out guys, and not really competing for anything, with the Raptors likely holding on to the first seed in the Eastern Conference, and the Thunder probably assured a playoff spot at that point. Who knows? But the Cavaliers are still looking to prove themselves. They're kind of redefining themselves on a daily basis. They had a big game against the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday, pulled out a victory there. So they're only 1.5 games ahead of the 76ers, who have been making a really strong push lately, and they're holding down the 4th seed. So the Cavs, again, 1.5 games up on the 3rd seed in the Eastern Conference and probably still looking to hold on to that as tightly as they can. So they're going to be trying to win this game most decidedly. And so the Heat are actually stuck in Indiana for an extra night. There were some mechanical issues with a team plane, so they're not able to travel back down to Miami on Sunday night when I'm recording this. They're going to be stuck there, having to fly back down on Monday. That throws off their schedule a little bit. Then they kind of have to get back into the swing of things on Tuesday as they face the Cavaliers. So you hope they'll be able to bounce back and be able to get some of that home cooking that's been so advantageous for them over this season. After the Cavs game, the Heat host the Bulls on Thursday and the Nets on Saturday. So while those teams have both given Miami trouble over the course of the season, it still bodes well for Miami. Obviously, they're lottery-bound teams. The Bulls in particular seem much more willing to embrace the quote-unquote tanking. They've really struggled to win games of late. I don't know that – I'm trying to think what their schedule has been over the last few games. Let's see here. They've gone 3-7, lost five overall, lost five in a row rather. So they have not been good of late. Not that they ever really were particularly good, and they're pushing for an early pick in that draft. They're sat out there. They're super rookie Lauri Markkanen. They don't have a lot of depth there. Robin Lopez is the only player who's really played a number of games, but even he's been forced out of the lineup. So that seems like it's likely to be a Miami win, and hopefully they'll get Hassan Whiteside back by then. Not that I think Whiteside offers much more than Adebayo is able to offer, but at this point I think your chances of excelling past the Celtics or whoever you face in the playoffs is better with Whiteside. You need to incorporate him back on there, need to get him rested, need to get him – yeah, he's undergoing some rest now, even as he tries to make his way back in the lineup, but he needs to establish a comfort rhythm again. So hopefully he'll be able to get some playing time in before the regular season ends. And as for the Nets, well, hey, they're the Nets. You know, they're going to try hard. Kenny Atkinson has them playing at a reasonably high level, but they're going to be traveling throughout all of South Florida. They make a stop in Orlando before heading down to Miami. So it's not going to be a comfortable trip for them. So Miami has a pretty good chance. Later on, they go for a back-and-back series against a home-and-home series, rather, against the Atlanta Hawks. So that's something to look forward to the following week. But that's all we have for now. We'll probably be answering a mailbag as Wes makes his triumphant return later on this week. We'll recap some of this week's games, including the Tuesday night game against the Cavaliers, and we look forward to hopefully having a special show with some other local Heat fans that you probably listen to or may not listen to. But anyway, that's all we have for now. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Make sure to please tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. I'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.